In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. Jesus had launched his ministry with a bang, calling fishermen and people that he met along the road to drop everything and join him. And they had gathered with these disciples on a mountain as Moses had gone up Mount Sinai. And there he shared with them the truth, the teachings of what God truly wanted, had always wanted for his world. Fascinated by the authority with which Jesus was teaching, the crowds followed him down the mountain, and Jesus began this great ministry. But as we saw last week, everywhere that Jesus went, the disciples encountered fear. They were terrified at these new places, these unexpected corners of the world that Jesus was going. And on that boat journey across to the other side into foreign territories, across the railroad tracks, if you will, the disciples had thought they were going to lose their lives. But Jesus had challenged their weak faith and asked them, "Why are you afraid? If God is with us, why are we scared?" Coming back from the other side, Jesus now continues this ministry. And as he goes back into Capernaum, there he's gathering in a house to teach, and some men bring a paralyzed man to Jesus. Jesus sees this paralyzed man and announces that God has forgiven him of anything that stands against him. The authorities hear this and are disgusted. This paralyzed man is a leech on society. He's a burden. He's part of the reason that Israel hasn't flourished. They're disgusted with Jesus. How dare you say that this paralyzed, burdened leech of society is forgiven? Jesus says, "Is it easier to forgive sins or to say, stand up and walk?" And he tells this paralyzed man, "Get up and walk." And he does, to the astonishment and the anger of the authorities. As Jesus continues on, he comes across a tax collector sitting in his booth, ready to collect taxes on behalf of the Roman Empire. This guy's name is Matthew, the writer of our gospel. Jesus sees him and says, "Matthew, follow me." Matthew does an astonishing thing, drops everything, leaves his work as a tax collector behind, and goes with Jesus. Jesus goes into Matthew's house, and there they have a party. They celebrate this new life of Matthew, and a bunch of other tax collectors and people that the authorities of Israel hated gather in this house. The authorities are looking in on this from the outside, disgusted. "How dare you, Jesus? Matthew and his ilk, they're traitors. Treason against the people of Israel. They have sold their souls to work for the Roman Empire, to gather taxes that oppress our people. And this Jesus is eating and accepting these horribly oppressive tax collectors." Jesus responds to them, "Is it the sick who need a doctor or the healthy? Why do you think I have come? Go and learn this fact. I desire compassion, not sacrificial victims." As Jesus then gets up to continue his journey, a ruler, a very proud man, comes and falls at Jesus' feet. He says, "Jesus, my daughter is dying. I need you to come right now." Jesus' heart is filled with compassion, and he and his disciples go. As he's going, though, a woman who has been a slave to her condition for years comes up, sneaks up behind Jesus, and grabs the hem of his cloak. Jesus feels the power go out from him, and he stops. He stops his urgent journey to go rescue this ruler's daughter, to look for this woman. His compassion for this woman who's so scared and broken, she can't even reveal herself openly, causes him to stop. And he finds this woman and tells her that she has been released and set free from all of the things that were imprisoning her in her life. Then Jesus continues on his journey to this ruler's daughter's house, but Jesus has taken too long. He gets there and the people are crying and screaming and weeping. And Jesus says, "Why are you weeping? She is only sleeping." They laugh at him. Jesus goes in, takes this daughter by the hand, has compassion on her, and raises her to new life. Then Jesus continues his journey and he comes across a couple of blind men. Again, more leeches and burdens on society, the people that were the problem, so the authorities thought. These blind men want compassion from Jesus, and Jesus' heart melts for them. And he says, "Absolutely." And then a man who is deaf and mute, cannot experience God's word, controlled by the demons and forces of the world, Jesus has compassion and sets him free. The authorities see this. Jesus, at one turn after another, having compassion on the dregs of society, the problem people in society. And they say, "This Jesus doesn't come from God." No. Jesus comes from Satan. This work of compassion is destroying our society. But Jesus continues on. And he gathers with his 12 disciples and says, "Look, this ministry of compassion, we need to expand. So I am giving you the authority to take care of the weak and the broken, to heal, to raise the dead. And I'm going to send you out into the world because I have compassion on this world. The crowds, they're like sheep. The world is just sacrificing these people in the cogs of its system, and they're crushed. And I want to send them God's love and compassion to set them free." Jesus tells his disciples, "This is not going to be an easy journey because I'm sending you as sheep amongst the wolves of our world. And we know what wolves do when they come across sheep. So be ready. You're going to be thrown in prison. You're going to be betrayed. You're going to be put on trial. It's going to be miserable for you. But don't fear. God has your back. So carry out this ministry of compassion. Take up your cross. Be willing to be a sheep amongst the wolves of this world, trusting that if you lose your life for God's kingdom, he will save you. It's going to be hard on you. Families will be ripped apart over this. You can't put anyone or anything above God himself. But compassion will win the day. God will remember, he won't forget, even the smallest act of compassion. So go. Spread compassion. Not sacrificial victims. "Go and learn," Jesus had told them. "Go and learn what this means. I want compassion, not sacrificial victims." Our world, the world in Jesus' day, almost every single society is built
on identifying the sacrificial victims. We scapegoat all the time. I don't even think we realize how much it goes on. From in our individual lives, when we play the blame game with other people, unwilling to accept the responsibility of things not being the way we want them, we blame people. We curse them, we tear them down so we feel better about ourselves. We do this in so many social situations. So many family units are built on scapegoating the weak in the family. Work situations, how many people get dumped on unfairly in order that somebody can be blamed for the problems? It's not the people on top, it's those on the bottom. In societies, our own society, built on scapegoating others, we say they need to be sacrificed for the good of the collective. We're willing to have third world anonymous children working, slaving, so that we can have a happy, prosperous life. They're victims that just have to be there so that we can thrive. We send our own boys and even women into war, saying they need to die for our cause. They need to be sacrificed for what we believe in. We drop bombs from our drones and say, collateral damage, some children just had to be sacrificed in order to protect our way of life. There are so many victims in our world that we sacrifice in order that we can stay comfortable, content, and self-justified, thinking that we are the good guys. But Jesus comes in our text and throws this whole world of scapegoating, this whole world of saying other people need to be sacrificed for us, he throws it on its head. He says, I desire compassion, mercy, not sacrificial victims. Jesus has compassion on the sheep of our world that are being crushed by our systems of sacrifice. And he sends his disciples out, not with the power of the wolves of our world, but as sheep as well, with only God on their side. And he says, go out there and share this compassion. As we saw, as Jesus had compassion through all the texts today, the authorities are angry at every turn because compassion is the greatest threat to our world. If people become truly compassionate and merciful, we are terrified that it will all come unraveled. Because it will. Because our systems of injustice are built on having sacrificial victims. And if you are a person of compassion, you threaten the core of that very system. I desire compassion, not sacrificial victims. Jesus is challenging us this morning to reflect on our own lives, our own situations. Where are we playing along with the game of scapegoating? Of sacrificing others so that we can thrive. And Jesus challenges us to flip the script. Go out, he says, like me. And instead of sacrificing others, sacrifice yourself. Lay down your own life, your own agenda, your own interests, your own dreams. Be a person of great compassion who says, I'm not going to sacrifice you. I'm going to sacrifice myself for you. That's what Jesus did for us. And that's what Jesus calls us as a people to be in the world. A people willing to be sheep amongst wolves. And that's not a pretty picture. The wolves will come after us. They will bite and fight and scrap to kill and tear down. But Jesus says, do not fear. God is with you. God raises the dead, and that is what gives Jesus the strength to walk to the cross, to not sacrifice others, but to sacrifice himself. May we be a people inspired to compassion, to mercy, to self-sacrifice, and stop playing the scapegoating game. Don't do it in your family. Don't do it at work. Don't do it outside in the world. Be a person of compassion who says the buck is going to stop here. No more sacrificial victims. I lay down my life for you. Compassion is what is saving our world as God brings it to us. Let's join in that. Let's be a people of great compassion and mercy. It's going to upset the world, but God will be on our side. I want compassion, not sacrificial victims. Amen.